Jihad Radio. You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I'm Kevin Barrett. I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with the biggest stories you never heard much about in the mainstream media. And we're covering one of the all-time biggies today. We're coming up on the 49th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy on November 22, 1963. This was the most powerful televised shock to the American nervous system ever delivered, at least up until the events of September 11, 2001. And people with the same kind of approach to the world and the same kind of power probably were behind both events. As we gear up for the 50th anniversary next year, I think we need to shine a lot of a big bright spotlight on this case, because so much information has come into the light over the years, especially since I stopped really paying attention. You know, I focused a lot on this. I read a lot about it. I tried to drum up an interest in the JFK case from the time I first saw the Zapruder film when I was in high school back in about 1972 or so. Right up until Oliver Stone's film JFK came out around 1990. At that point, I said, okay, polls show two-thirds of the American people know that forces in the CIA did this. I guess case is closed. Well, little did I know that much more detailed information about this rather amazing crime has come into the public domain since I stopped paying close attention to the case. And so I'm kind of looking back at it. I'm also depending on my friend Dr. James Fetzer, a leading expert on the JFK assassination, who will be coming on in the second hour to give his analysis of what we're about to hear from today's guest, Judith Barry Baker. She's the author of Me and Lee, How I Came to Know and Love Lee Harvey Oswald. She has testified that she was part of an anti-Castro U.S. intelligence community and mafia conspiracy in 1963, right alongside Lee Harvey Oswald, that Lee was working for the U.S. intelligence community going after Castro. And then when he discovered the conspiracy to kill JFK, which was rooted in that anti-Castro community, Lee tried to stop the assassination and ended up being set up as a patsy. And therefore, it's obviously no coincidence that a mafiosi, Jack Ruby, was able to walk into the Dallas Police Department and kill Lee Oswald. Well, Judith Barry Baker is very courageous. She came forward, I believe, in 1999, and everybody needs to hear this story, so let's go ahead and let her tell it. So welcome to Truth Jihad Radio. Judith Baker, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. I had some kind of interference there that came and said this line is now being muted or something like that.
Oh, yeah. We have a kind of a weird technical system here.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, all we've right. Got you now.
Well, it was a pleasure to hear that you're going to have Dr. Fetzer on. Dr. Fetzer was courageous enough to interview me live, one of the first researchers to do it on Internet. And it's interesting that he got his first death threat right after interviewing me. And it also, my friend Martha Rose Crow, at the same time, had placed on her blogs. She had about 105 blogs. That's a lot of blogs. And she had placed the book, Me and Lee, that you could go to meandlee.com, you know, and buy the book, everything like that. And then she said, Judith Barry Baker is my best friend. And right after she did that, not only had Dr. Fetzer got his death threat, but she got one and I got one. And I have to say that it wasn't very long after that that Martha was suddenly writing people and saying, look, we're being attacked. I mean, the minute I started endorsing Judith's book, you know, I've had all kinds of bad things happen, and Judy, too. And, you know, we feel like we're fighting to the brink on this. We're being attacked. And the next day, my friend Martha, one of my very best friends, was dead.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yes, and she had collapsed while shopping at a market, and we didn't know about this. She was taken to a hospital. There we found out she received overdoses of epinephrine, and we don't know what else. And they say she died of a heart attack there. At the hospital, the family was in America. She was in the Netherlands when this occurred, and she had been living there for quite some time. And were flying over before they got there. They cremated Martha's body. And so they started a police investigation to see if they could find arsenic, which they believe might have been the cause of, of poisoning in her case, and to see if they could justify the use of what the hospital had done. But all they had were some bones and ashes, and, of course, they couldn't find anything. So they had to close the investigation.
Wow.
That was my best friend, and it really hit me hard. And Jim Fetzer, of course, knows what happened at that time. I know it was very courageous of Jim to go forward as he did. And he said, let them do as they please. He said, you know, I'm not afraid to tell them the truth. You know, because I said, you can take the interview off, Jim. I don't want anything to happen to you, you know. And I've lived in exile, and only now I've come forth because enough people have expressed interest in helping to protect me so I can tell the story in the United States. I planned originally to go and be in Dallas, and I put, this was just a couple months ago, rented a hotel room and everything. I was going to speak in Dallas, have people come and tell them more, felt I'd be safe there. And I got a phone call. I don't know how they got the number, because this was a friend's number in Sweden. And I go and live in Sweden or in other countries as well. And don't you know that and on the phone call they said, you know, if you go to Dallas, you'll pay. And they hung up like that. And it just sends chills down your, you know, down your across your body. And so what I did next, I told everybody on my Facebook page, and I hope I get some more people to understand, you know, what we're up against here. Because the next thing I knew, my bank account was hacked, and there were charges. The charges were to Houston and Dallas, like gas stations and things like that, eateries, so on. Yeah, so, I mean, the message was, I mean, of all the places charges could be made. So I canceled the hotel in Dallas, and it's not like they won, because I talked to my publisher, and this man was courageous, so courageous.
Yeah, you're talking Chris Milligan.
I have Chris Milligan for a publisher.
He's a great guy.
Yes, he is. And, in fact, he's the only publisher I've trusted with the story. Anyway, we decided we're going to go to the cities of America on the West Coast, and we're going to tell this story. I'm not going to be just confined to Dallas. And then I will be returning into undisclosed places back in Europe.
Wow. Well, this is amazing. I mean, this is a crime that was committed almost 50 years ago, and it's still so sensitive, and the people who are trying to cover it up are still so powerful that they're coming
at
you.
It's just people should understand, just like James Douglas said, it's a, you know, JFK and the Unspeakable, a fine book. It says why he died and why it matters. And it does matter today, because our country is not the same. A whole new system of government has been placed in charge of our people, and we've lost so many of our freedoms and privileges. We've lost privacy. We've lost all kinds of rights to bear arms, you name it. And we have been in wars where we shouldn't have been involved. We have become, you know, the imperial Roman presence, you know, across the globe. And we're paying for it, and our children will pay for it. It's a heartbreaker.
Well, it is. And today, as we speak, Netanyahu, who did lose his bet on the American presidential horse race by backing the Romney-Likudnik ticket, is apparently taking out his frustration on the Palestinians by killing innocent people in the Gaza Strip. And we hear rumors that Petraeus, or however you pronounce it, was, he spoke out against Israeli control of the U.S. And, of course, we all know that Israeli control is really...
And look what's happening to him.
Yeah, exactly. They take him down with an engineered scandal. And the rumors are they're going to put Jane Harman in charge of CIA. She's a documented, busted Israeli spy. And these crime mobs working in cahoots with the Israeli government, where they have a free rein and where anybody who's indicted for serious organized crime can just run and be protected and never extradited. These people are just completely controlling our country.
Well, this is the thing, the control of the American people. The control. When I tell people overseas that the American people only have the right, basically, the end right to choose only between two people, And we had, like, Ron Paul. You know, they're not allowing those delegates to seat. Okay, all of these things have happened because the American people, basically the media, has not been there to protect the people with the truth. And so I really respect people like you who are coming out with this information. I'd like to tell you, I'd like you to ask me questions. I'd like the people to hear the answers.
Yeah, well, we're the real media here at American Freedom Radio, and I also work for Veterans Today and Press TV and Nova
Radio. Oh, that's
Radio.
Wonderful.
Right, and you know, they're pretty good operations. Press TV has some actual funding behind it, so they're telling the truth using real production values. And we do our best here at American Freedom Radio as well. And, of course, Veterans Today has a lot of intelligence community patriots who are horrified by what's been going on.
Oh, yes. And I personally know some people, you know, have been in Afghanistan or Iraq and things like that. And they know they were lied to. Imagine how they feel. They went over there and risked their lives for their country. And then they find out, you know, this is a matter of you know, private organizations to make a lot of money. This is about money. It's not about freeing people.
Yeah, and it's about drug money.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's worse than ever. I mean, imagine, you know, Afghanistan today is the number one supplier for opium. That's what's happened to them.
Right. So, well, let's talk about your story, because you have firsthand personal information that's important enough that they're still after you almost 50 years later.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. So why don't you give us kind of a rundown of how you met Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah, and I haven't even mentioned all the things that drove me overseas. I've been out of a wheelchair twice, sir, you know, because things happen to you. But, you know, I made up my mind I was going to do something about this. I thought after all this time, people would have so much, there is so much evidence out there that Lee Oswald is innocent. Yet year after year, here we go. You know, you have these TV specials. Every year they come out, and every year we have to have a new one because the old ones are discredited.
We're living in an Orwellian world. Well, let's hear the real story.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit. You have a very good science background. You ended up being offered a job in New Orleans in what turned out to be an intelligence community operation to design some kind of a
biological
weapons
weapon.
Against Castro.
That's right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we have biological weapons today. Everybody knows about anthrax, for example, being created in the labs, as if we have any right, any human being anywhere to create such materials. I was very young. I was only 19 at this time, and I was wowed by big names such as Dr. Alton Ochsner and Dr. George Moore. I'd worked with him. Moore is on record that he, in fact, will be showing these in presentations. Dr. Moore, who mentored me and was part of my really world-class training in cancer research, he went on record in 1964, just after the Kennedy assassination, that it's okay to go ahead and experiment on human beings without telling them that you're injecting them with cancer.
Well, somehow
you know,
I think
we should worry about that. Don't tell them.
List of protocols. My goodness.
Yeah, and this is one of you know, if you look at the book Me and Lee, which you can get at meandlee.com, you'll see in there how close I was to him. So this is the mindset. So we are working there. We're going to inject this material that we've developed into a prisoner at Jackson Mental Hospital over in Louisiana. And by doing so, if he dies, then we know we've got the real thing. Problem is, you're not supposed to tell him, you know, what he's getting injected with. And he's a volunteer. Oh, lucky him. So anyway, I objected to that. I'm going ahead in the story a little bit. And for that reason, I've not been able to remain in the cancer research venue at all. I've had to, I was banned. There are a lot of ethical problems with what was going on in 1963.
Well, it sounds like it. Now, can you briefly confirm?
I was sent to New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah, I was sent to New Orleans,
okay.
And I'm working with these people who had already assigned me in 1961 to do research on what makes cancer more deadly. Now, that's the opposite of what should have been happening, of course. And but I was told, well, you know, if we find out what makes cancer more deadly, we'll be able to figure out what it is that makes it grow faster and so on. So you're doing a service. And so I was lured into this. And on the other hand, I was very much anti-Castro. I came from Florida, where I had dated Tony Lopez Frasquet. He was the son of the finance minister of Cuba when Castro took over. And though his father, Rufo, was in fine shape, he had to flee. The boys did. They had to flee the United States. So I learned a lot about how Castro tortured people. Like, after the Bay of Pigs, he hung up people on fences, you know, metal fences there, the CIA captives, and put blow torches under their armpits, you know, I mean, burn them under their armpits with blow torches, things like that. So I had a hatred for Castro, and I also had a hatred for Kennedy, because I've been told by all these anti-Castro people that it was all Kennedy's fault. Well, when I got to New Orleans, I'm in the hotbed here of anti-Castro people, and they're working the CIA and the mafia together. Now, there's one person who could work with both the CIA and the mafia with no trouble, and that was Lee Oswald. His uncle was with the mafia. His uncle, Dutz Moret, was good friends and worked with Carlos Marcello, the essential godfather of New Orleans, and also his power extending all the way across to Dallas. And here you have Lee Oswald's uncle.
Whoop. You know, we're coming into the break.
Okay.
We'll have to pick it up after the other side of the break.
Sure enough.
Hear more about Carlos Marcello, the guy who testified he was a $15,000 a year fruit seller, I think. We'll be back. Kevin Durant with Judith Berry Baker, author of Me and Lee, How I Came to Know and Love Lee Harvey Oswald.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, the way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against all life. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Talking today with Judith Berry Baker, author of Me and Lee, How I Came to Know and Love Lee Harvey Oswald. And folks, if you're hearing this stuff for the first time, let me assure you that what you're hearing from Judith Berry Baker does line up with known facts about this most bizarre of elements of American history that we're hearing about. So, Judith, we could take phone callers. Are you willing to talk to callers, or would you rather just go with your story?
Well, I'd like to just... say a little bit more, and then we'll do that, because I realize you don't have an awful lot of time left.
That's right.
One of the important, because we don't know what we'll get with callers. When I met Lee Oswald, he was sent, actually, for a number of reasons to New Orleans, but one reason he was there was to actually spy on the program that we were working on to make sure it didn't get in the wrong hands, and that's at least what he told me, and it seemed to make sense to me. We became lovers, and we both had kind of miserable marriages. I have witnesses. They're on tape. They're on film. They're in the book. We have about 200 different documents, photographs, and endnote information with additional evidence. We've had a lot of people come forward after the book got published and after I spoke out, of course, in 1999. And so the book stands and is solid, and people need to know once you understand just what was going on in New Orleans and how Lee penetrated an assassination ring that this began actually in New Orleans and extended because of oil men and rogue CIA, and I could go on with everybody who was involved, you know, fired generals, CIA officers upset with Kennedy, and racists and all kinds of... Anyway, they all got together. Even Hoover, you know, actually... put out a memo because he'd received an inquiry. He said they've just arrested Lee Oswald. And they said, well, look, there are these other people out here. We'd like to go and examine them, too, because they're suspects. And he wrote back, and it's only a few hours after Lee Oswald was arrested, saying, no, you have your man. You don't need anybody else. And this is on November 22nd.
Right, sort of like
they haven't even received the evidence yet.
Right, just like at 9/11, they knew it was Osama about 30 seconds
after
it happened.
This is it. It's all set up ahead of time. Lee Oswald was a patriot. They knew, because he's returned from Russia, that he would not cry out and say, look, I'm from the ONI. I was trained by them. I was loaned to the CIA. I'm working with the FBI. And, you know, other people killed Kennedy. He could not do that because all the people that he'd worked with that were spies and contacts in the USSR, this is the height of the Cold War, they would have been executed. And he knew also that I would die. We loved each other. His children probably would be murdered. Certainly his wife would be. Everybody he cared for would be eliminated. They would find a way to get revenge. He also knew that if he spoke out about these various projects, you know, many innocent people could be harmed. So he, all he could say is that he was a patsy. This is not a man who cried out and said, hey, look what I did, everybody. Pay attention. You know, we did this for communism. They don't have a motive for Lee Oswald. So they have to call him a lone nut. You know, no motive.
Right. They have no motive. They have no gun.
Right.
They could have done the deed. It's a complete hoax. And it's.
Oh, it is.
So how, when you met Lee, he actually did tell you about his intelligence background, that is, that he had been...
Well, of course, not right away. It took a long time. This is not a man who's going to go talking about his past. He actually, they had a legend built around him. You know, for example, when he's in New Orleans, he's passing out pro-Castro literature. He's helping to ferret out, actually, anybody who's interested in Castro, supporting him. They're interested in why and if they're a spy. They eventually, because of Lee's help, got them arrested. There are many reasons. The book tells you why. For example, he leafleted the Wasp ahead of time, the USS Wasp out there on the dock. Why would he be out there before? And no publicity for that. That there were different operations that they were involved in, and they're mentioned in the book. Lee Oswald was very active in bringing guns, in a gun-running operation that was going on. With three sister ships involved, the United States had, of course, makes guns, but they brought in guns from South America and Central America, so they wouldn't be noticed to use the anti-Castro efforts. So, and New Orleans is where they were training out by Lake Pontchartrain, various people. Lee was helping to make a film out there, a training film for these people to use. And Blakey and others in the HSCA, we know that other people saw this film. I saw parts of that film. We have a lot of evidence, and we have witnesses and everything. This stuff should not be suppressed, but it is being suppressed because, of course, once you know that Lee Oswald is innocent, then you must focus on why are they still covering it up. And that means, of course, it's the government, the people of the government, who have been corrupted. And the corrupt organization there really was taken over from the inside. And we need our freedom. We need to understand, you know, who's in charge and how they got there. And, if we have information, then that's half the battle. The people, we've got to know what happened. And if you know what happened to Lee, you understand he's innocent, then you're going to see what they are doing today and trying to suppress this story. And who they are, you can identify them then. Like, we know you're a good guy because you're listening.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Can you give me your opinion on the accuracy of a book that covers some of the same ground that you do? Haslam's book, Mary, Fairy, and the Monkey Virus, which now has also been picked up by Trine Day, and it describes this cancer.
That is the original book. It's very interesting that you brought up the old one, the old version.
I'm sorry, I got the wrong title.
That's okay. It's Dr. Mary's Monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yes, TrineDay.net, that's where you can access that book, and, of course, elsewhere. That book, it's interesting that you brought up the original, though, Mary,
yeah,
Fairy,
yeah, I read
Monkey
it when it came out, and I was amazed. I said, this is the most interesting conspiracy book I've read in a long time.
Well, it's wonderful. He discovered our secret labs, the ring and everything. Now, he revised how he thought it worked and everything. When I explained to him, he spent over 2 years investigating me before he revised the book and came out with more information. And he checked everything. This man is tough. He is solid. And it's just wonderful what he's done. It's interesting that when he was investigating me, that I said to him, you know, he was trying to find out if I knew who Mary Sherman was. You know, how can I prove I met Dr. Mary Sherman? And I said, well, you know, there's one thing, Ed. The picture that you have of Mary Sherman on Mary Fairing the Monkey Virus, that's not her. I said, that's not Mary. That's not what she looked like. Now, the police thought that's what she looked like. That's what everybody in New Orleans thought she looked like. It was her sister. When Mary's body was found on July 21st, 1964, that's the same day the Warren Commission came to get testimonies there. And on the front page, there is Mary, and she's been slain. She's been stabbed 14 times. Her face and all her right side of her body is all burned, okay? You can't see, unrecognizable. And her right arm is missing. And I want to tell you, Very few people in New Orleans, except for Dean Andrews and a few of the wrong people, testified after that in New Orleans. You didn't get the people who really knew what was going on, who would tell the truth. After seeing her on the front page, that was the end of that.
Well, no wonder Jim Garrison was up against the monster he couldn't get a handle on.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Dr. Ochsner was involved. We have documents showing that Ochsner was afraid he would get arrested. There are so many documents out there. Garrison was so close. It was so hard for people to believe that so many different arms of the government could be involved in killing Kennedy. You know, and you see this card come out, you know, Kennedy was killed by the CIA, the FBI, the mafia, the Texas oilmen, you know, and space aliens or whatever, you know, make these cartoons. As a matter of fact, so many were involved from so many different directions that not any, for example, the FBI, any of the good people there who realized the CIA was involved, they couldn't come out and say it was the CIA because the CIA would say, wait a minute, you know, Hoover covered up things. So they could, they checked each other. They kept each other in alignment on this to cooperate to keep the cover-up going.
Well, you know, I understand that David Ferry, who was memorably portrayed in the movie JFK by Oliver Stone, he's the guy who's saying it's a riddle wrapped up in enigma inside a mystery or whatever. He's the guy who was killed right before he was supposed to testify, wasn't he?
It's very interesting. Garrison was talking to him and everything, and he complained to the investigator. He says, "Look, I'm going to die. You guys, you know, this stuff is now broke to the front page. I'm going to die." They took him to a hotel for the night and, you know, gave him coffee and tried to reason with him and everything, don't worry and all that. Well, he's dead 2 days later.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's all natural causes, of course, you know.
Right, right. Well, didn't he call you up and warn you at some point?
Yeah, Dave and I knew him very well. And by the way, do I have time to tell you? I don't know how much time we have left, but one investigator who was trying very hard to say that I didn't know Dave Ferry, he asked me a question. He said, "What was hanging in David Ferry's apartment?" Because you were there, you said, a lot in 1963. Indeed, I was. And he said, "So you should know what was hanging there in his apartment between the dining room and the living room." And to save my soul, I could not remember any darn thing hanging there. So he said, "See, folks," he put online, you know, "this woman wasn't there. She didn't know what was hanging there. What was hanging there was a monkey that was, you know, it was a fuzzy monkey that was spring arms and legs, you know, that was attached." And then he posted the picture. Well, then a couple years later, okay, we find out that picture was actually taken on the day in February 1967, not 63. We're talking about 67 years later, when David Ferry was found dead. So that's the kind of thing they'll do to you, you know, to try and discredit.
Yeah, I noticed that. You know, I looked at some of the critical pieces on you by people like, what's his name, McAdams over at Marquette.
Well, and John McAdams, this is, you know, about John McAdams, people need to know that you can go and look up the president's wounds. John McAdams actually says that the people at Parkland, the doctors and the nurses working to save the president of the United States' life, didn't have time to look at his head wound, so they should not be believed when they said the head wound was in the back of his head.
Mm. Right, yeah.
But that's how far he'll go.
A joker. He was one of my big persecutors when I was hounded out of the University of Wisconsin for talking about 9/11. So I don't trust him a minute. But when I try to look at everybody's, you know, I get a range of opinions on things.
Well, he thanks a half a dozen people at the bottom of his huge array of junk that he's written there, and none of those people ever knew me. Only one of them ever met me, and briefly at that, just for a few minutes, Robert Chapman. These people, you know, it's just absurd. They, for example, one of them originally told me, "Oh, you know, my Shar Pei dogs, they have a skin itchy condition, and I know you're a dog expert, so I helped him with his dogs," and then he asked me some questions. I said, you know, I get concerned when people ask me, like McAdams, he's trying to tell people that I did this, that, and the other. And they even asked me if Lee was circumcised, okay? And This man actually added to my email in parentheses, not. They tried to say that I said that Lee Oswald was not circumcised, yet they accused me of doing intensive, close research. You know, look, he must have spent 50 years getting all this research together. And yet, I wouldn't have read Lee Oswald's own autopsy where it says he was circumcised. So, I mean, they will use any possible excuse to discredit.
Yeah, I noticed that when I looked at it.
And they said I was selling dogs for $400 a piece, mutt dogs. By the way, in the state of Florida, I was known to have raised and trained, and also in Louisiana, guide dogs for the blind. So they take the dogs that we were raising and training, and they don't mention that we were raising guide dogs for the blind. Just that when we had dogs that were well trained but they failed the course, we asked people to give a $400 donation to adopt these dogs. So those are the $400 mutts, they say, and that's supposed to ruin my reputation.
That's how they work. That's how these people work. They take stuff out of context. They find one thing. They say, Judith has some of Oswald's handwriting, but it's in pencil, so we can't date it. And that proves that she's wrong. And then there's like 500 other things that prove that you're right that they don't mention.
They don't mention my witnesses. And by the way, even when they do, they say, well, this witness, her husband lied to Garrison. You know, well, Garrison was investigating to find out more, and that man was not going to tell them that he had double-dated with Lee Oswald and his girlfriend. I mean, that's just going to get him in more trouble. He already complained he'd been shot at. There are things like this going on. Of course, they're not going to mention any of the realities here, you know.
Right, and that's exactly the same techniques they used against me and against everybody else who's trying to get some truth out about 9/11. Hey, we do have a caller in about a minute and a half
before
the next break. So let's bring on a caller. Caller from 306, area code, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. It's an interesting show, Kevin. Hey, I just want to just bring something up. The other day on The View, you know, the show The View, O'Reilly was on there.
Oh, O'Reilly.
And he has just came out with a book on JFK. And he was on there. And I didn't listen to it. Honestly, just a few minutes, I shut him off. I don't like him anyway. But he swore up and down. He says, we're the only ones to have interviewed Oswald's wife.
Many people have interviewed Lee Oswald's wife. Poor Marina. She has had to lie. We now know that Marina said that she was actually threatened with deportation if she did not cooperate. Say the right thing.
That's right. We'll pick that up after the break. Kevin Barrett here talking with Judith Berry Baker about her book, Me and Lee. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers manufacturers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Hey everybody, this is Fabian for Liberty. You can join me every Monday and Friday from 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Time only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. This is a 8 days before JFK Day special interview on Truth Jihad Radio with Judith Mary Baker. She's the author of Me and Lee, How I Came to Know.
Yes, and I've come here out of exile.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I won't be staying here very long. I'll be going back. So I'm hoping everybody will access this book at meandlee.com and get the facts. And about, you were talking about, you know, Ed Haslam and his book and all the hard research he did. And there are other researchers now who have obtained the information. But do we still have our caller on that line? Or?
Yeah, let me bring the caller back up. Wait a second. Hello, Byron? I think that sounds like Byron's voice. Byron, are you still there? Well, maybe not. Okay, in any case, you were saying he was asking about Bill O'Reilly and his book on the JFK assassination.
Right, and I haven't read the book. I have access to very few books, but I've heard from others that he's kind of let us down, hasn't he, with this book, you know.
Well, you know, anything O'Reilly does to me, it's not really a letdown because I didn't expect anything. I mean, he's the guy who said I should have been murdered by the mafia and thrown into Boston Harbor because of my research incident to 9/11. And he was also angry because I wouldn't come on his show. So he's not my favorite guy.
Well, these people eventually, you can tell who they are. You've got For example, on CNN, you have someone who has taken, what's his name, Pierce whatever. I don't care because I don't watch him very much.
Yeah, I don't watch much TV either.
But I was there when he interviewed Jesse Ventura, and he said, he was telling Jesse, what is this that you have, conspiracy going on? What is the matter? This word conspiracy, by using this, they put a tag on it. You realize, of course, I'm sure you do, that ever since Julius Caesar, most heads of states have been removed by conspiracy, but they'll usually just have one person take the blame for it, and that's the way it goes, often the case. For example, when the Senate murdered Julius Caesar, he was struck from every direction, but you hear about Brutus. That's the name that everybody remembers as having struck Caesar with the last most important blow,
Right.
Anyway, I hope you'll have some good questions for me. If not, I'll...
Okay, well, actually, I'll go ahead and let another caller ask the question. Caller from 269, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Margaret. I just wanted to say it's such an honor to be on with Judy. I read your book last year, and I had my teenage daughter read it, and her friend at school borrowed it. And I just wanted to say how much I appreciate not just the assassination part of it is really interesting, but just your life, I think, is really inspiring for young girls, the way you, you wanted to find a cure for cancer. I think
yes.
One of your relatives had died, and then you
yes.
set up your own lab. And, I admire you so much, and I'm happy that you survived. I know you're in hiding. That's why you have, because you obviously had a brilliant mind, and that's why they tried to tap you for their evil deeds, So I just wondered, today, what do you think, if I wanted to give advice to my teenage daughter who just started college, what do you think that young people can do today?
What you can do to help your country, you mean, or
to help
humankind.
Yeah.
I think the first and most important thing you can do is to stay informed, but keep an open mind. But I think you better tap into some... I believe in God very, very deeply. I was an atheist at one time, but I feel my life was actually saved by God so that I would be able to speak out. And if people don't believe in God, I can understand where they're coming from since I was once an atheist. But the number one probably bit of advice I can give is that always treasure the truth. Try your best never to lie. Sometimes I get in trouble because I don't lie, because people don't like to hear the utter truth. Like they'll say, do I look good? And I'll say, well, no,
Yeah.
But if you're honest, people will trust you. And if you're honest, advice I gave my children growing up, all of them have been very successful. Choose your friends this way. How are they taking care of themselves? Are they, are they abusing their bodies? Do they have good habits? How are they treating themselves? Because they're not going to treat you any better than they treat themselves. And, of course, to treasure those who tell the truth. And also, I'll tell you another thing. If I catch someone in a lie, I'm talking about a serious lie, not little white lies. I don't trust these people again. I just don't. Because they've got a problem with how they view the world and how they handle the truth.
Do you think the truth will ever come out on a wide...
It's coming out now.
It
can't be stopped. Wonderful about the truth. The truth cannot eventually be stopped altogether, not as long as there are good men and women who treasure the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to see the truth, for the 50th anniversary of this.
Well, that's one reason I'm talking more.
Yeah, widely known.
People are educated now. It's so important. Because next year they're going to get a whole passel of lies. If they know the truth, they can sit there like I do and say, are you joking?
Well, thank you so much for your bravery. I really appreciate
it. Well, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, caller. Well, that was such a good question from a caller. I think I'll bring another caller on. Welcome, 850 caller. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Michael in North Carolina, and the first thing I wanted to do was to express my gratitude to both of you and to you, Ms. Baker. I've read all the Associated books of your life with Lee. And I had two short questions, one of which, in the James Douglas book, he brought out an aspect of evidence that I hadn't heard before, and that was the use of a Lee Harvey Oswald double.
Yes.
By the plotters, and I wanted you to comment on that and Lee's supposed trip to Mexico City, whether he actually made that trip or it was the double.
Okay. First of all, a lot of obfuscation has occurred. As you know, when they first talked about Lee Oswald going into Mexico City, they showed some very strange pictures because those were not of Lee Oswald. And then later they said the cameras weren't working. The actual fact is he did go, and he went with the materials. But this, at first, it seems now to us that he was lured to Mexico City, and the idea was to make sure that he would have contacts with Castroites and so on. And we now suspect that probably the reason the biological weapon was couriered there, and it was never actually brought into Cuba, it was just to make sure we could get Lee Oswald there. And the first reports that came out, they were pretty rough after the assassination, that he had accepted bribes there, that he had actually visited a USSR assassin over at the Russian embassy and so on. And then later, as it became clear to Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, right away, you know, this stuff suddenly stops because, oh, dear, if we have him doing this, we might end up with World War III. Because it seems originally we're trying to blame the Russians. And since Lee had been a fake defector to the USSR, that was easy for them to do to begin with. So all of a sudden, all these people that come out, they start discrediting him. No, there was no, there wasn't any bribe after all. No, this didn't happen. No, that didn't happen. No, Sylvia Duran did not sleep with Oswald, and on it goes. But at the same, now we have a situation where they have to deny that Lee Oswald had anything to do with Mexico City. I assure you he did. But
okay.
And we have, by the way, more and more evidence is coming out. But you have to look at that attitude there, that they had to change their story. So then now everything to make it look like he wasn't there. And, yes, there were doubles there. We have people who were pretending to be Lee Oswald, making phone calls and setting him up. But once the setup doesn't work so well, you know, we don't want to really say that make it harder and harder to show that he was there is the way to go, so that you don't uncover the actual reason he was sent there.
I see. And the only other thing is there's a more recent book that I wanted to ask if you were familiar with that was about another little corner of history that I'd not known before, and that was about Mary Pinchot Meyer.
Wow.
Called Mary's Mosaic. Are you familiar with that book?
I've heard about the book. I haven't read the book, but I people have told me various things. You can be sure that whenever you have a witness who might want to speak out, if it was inconvenient, those witnesses aren't going to stay around. One reason I'm alive is because I kept my mouth shut, and I really thought that enough evidence, there's so much evidence out there of Lee Oswald's innocence. And I did have my witnesses, and eventually I realized I had to speak out before it was too late, before all my witnesses were dead, for one thing. So we do have the witnesses, we have records, others have stepped forward. It's been wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much again, and I'll let another caller come.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thanks, Michael. All right. Well, you know, I don't think we have time for another call because we're coming up on the end of the show. We only have about 1 minute left. Judith, can you kind of sum up what you'd like to see happen during this coming year run up to the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination?
Okay. I'm hoping people will spread the fact, get the books Me and Lee, and get the book Dr. Mary's Monkey, get JFK and the Unspeakable. Get these books. Go to meandlee.com. Get the information. Tell everybody about it, because they're going to do everything in their power to give, you know, to feed you another bunch of ridiculous semi-truths and factoids and lies.
And in words
don't
we can't
believe
even say
them
on the radio.
Because our future depends on it.
Thank you. Thank you, Judith Faye Baker. It's been wonderful. I would love to have you back as soon as possible, at least once before the next anniversary. You're doing amazing, courageous work. Keep it up.
Well, it's very difficult. It'll be very difficult for me to do this from Europe.
you know, you might want to be able to contact my publisher again. And
I'll be in contact with Chris Milliken. Okay, thank you, Judith. I really appreciate it. Keep up the great work. That's Judith Berry Baker. Go to meandlee.com. Check it out.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against all life. Join together here at TheSpiritualUN.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. TheSpiritualUN.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.
There's some distressing information, sir, which I think should be explained. Just which things have been lost and just what has been gained. Like the thousands of put options bought days before the crash. If the money were collected, it'd make quite a pretty stash. And the only stocks they bought were American and United. Deutsche Bank knows the answer, but the names have not been cited. And is it just coincidence that this firm in the private sector was once run by Fuzzy Krongard, now CIA director? And I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Lithuania or another Reichstag fire?
Welcome back. This is Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett, doing a show on one of the biggest crimes in the history of humanity, the assassination of JFK, a crime so big and with so many agencies of the federal government involved, along with organized crime, that it's pretty hard for people to believe, but sometimes you just have to go wherever the evidence leads you. And my guest this hour, Dr. James Fetzer, a.k.a. Jim Fetzer, my friend and colleague from the 9/11 Truth Movement, is one of the people who are well noted, in fact, some in some areas notorious for going exactly wherever the truth leads, no matter what, even if people don't like it. And Jim is his work on JFK is really quite solid. Murder in Dealey Plaza, the 9/11 conspiracy, the Great Zapruder film hoax, and Assassination Science are four of his books on the case. And he's presented a really good summary of what we now know about the JFK assassination. You can find that summary, which is a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, linked at my radio blog, truthjihadradio.blogspot.com. As you heard from Judith Verybaker, Jim was instrumental in getting her story out, and let's hear his take on it from the man himself. Hey, welcome, Jim Fetzer.
Oh, Kevin, it's great to be here again. A real pleasure, and it was wonderful to hear you interview Judith Verybaker. She's a terrific person. I did about 15 interviews with her, short takes on there's a website I'll locate and identify. I think it's called the James Fetzer Channel or Dr. James Fetzer Channel. An associate of mine, Mike Sparks, created it, and we have 15 interviews with Judith up there that complement what you heard from her today.
Wow, yeah, it's quite a story, isn't it? And well, so many people haven't heard it, and I think part of the reason they haven't heard it is that there's been a pretty concerted effort to make sure that people don't hear it.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah, there have been many efforts to discredit her. I actually had a thread on the Education Forum, which was created by John Simpkin, which is probably the biggest interactive research forum in the world. And it is particularly active in the area of the JFK assassination, and I created a thread about Judith that wound up having over 2,000 posts, Kevin. I mean, she was being attacked from one side or another, and I was defending her, and others were, also on my side, but it was amazing to me how many were discounting what she had to say. Where Ed Haslam, I must add, did a wonderful job of researching Judith's story when he prepared, the earlier and then the second version of his book about the research to develop the cancer vaccine. He tracked down everything she said. He knows New Orleans backwards and forwards, and he has become a very powerful advocate for Judith and what she has to tell us.
And that's pretty amazing, because I read his book when it first came out, when it was called Mary Ferry and the Monkey Virus.
Right.
And it was so wild in its showing that the JFK conspiracy actually was tied in with all of these other things, including the apparent spreading of cancer all over the world due to contaminated vaccines. And that's what Ed's book focused on, was how this program in New Orleans, this big secret government cancer program, was not only doing things like trying to send cancer to Cuba, give cancer to Castro, but also to cover up the fact that the early polio vaccine and other vaccines administered in the 1950s were contaminated with cancer viruses from monkeys that were presumably going to be giving many, many thousands, if not even millions of people cancer. And that the liabilities from this were so huge that the government was doing everything necessary to keep it hushed up. And they were also trying to find ways to ameliorate the wave of cancer that was coming. And this is so huge that when I first read that book, I said, well, you know, it's a really interesting, conspiracy theory. You know, because you can tell how important a so-called conspiracy theory is by multiplying how important it would be if it were true times the evidence that it's true. And this one scored fairly high on both counts. But now it turns out that Ed Haslam was probably right.
Oh, yeah, I think Ed, he's one of the most careful, thorough, meticulous students, scholars, researchers I've ever encountered, Kevin. I've interviewed him on The Real Deal before. And I'm very impressed with his work, his intelligence, his resourcefulness. I think pretty much what Ed has to report is something you can take to the bank.
And the implications are so overwhelming. You know, not only do we have all of these agencies of the U.S. government complicit in the criminal conspiracy to murder our president, but we have the whole government also complicit in a conspiracy to cover up the fact that it's going to be murdering huge numbers of people, well, by mistake, I suppose, with monkey viruses. And then they're trying to engineer, you know, pro-cancer viruses rather than cures. I mean, you know, if the average citizen woke up to this, I mean, they would be storming Washington, D.C. with torches and pitchforks.
Well, yeah, actually it was what, you know, they had like three principal sources for the polio vaccine, and one of them came out of New Orleans, and I think it was related with Salk, and that was the contaminated vaccine. I mean, very, very embarrassing for the country. Not only that, but while they were developing this rapid-acting cancer virus to kill political enemies like Fidel Castro, it appears that one of the first on which it was used with great effect was actually Jack Ruby.
Right. And even today, we have the president of Venezuela going public with his belief that he was given cancer by the U.S. government.
I don't doubt it. I mean, Hugo Chavez, I admire enormously, but many in the American government do not. I mean, after all, he has, you know, declared nationalized the oil resources of Venezuela, which are simply enormous. And that, of course, creates greater competition in the international oil market, makes it more difficult for the big oil companies to keep the prices up. So, of course, as Judith was saying, for financial reasons, you know, they've been very upset with Chavez, and it's got very, very little to do with freedom and liberty and democracy, just as you know so very well, that the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, now Syria, the attack on Libya being a stunning example, have nothing to do with democracy or freedom. That's all such a transparent charade, I can't believe anyone today would still take it seriously.
And that's one of the interesting things about Judith Ferry Baker's book, is that she provides an account of a basically, you know, decent person herself, and a bit of a science genius at an early age. She reminds me a little bit of Lynn Margulis, the late lamented Lynn Margulis, who used to be one of my favorite radio guests. Judith was a very, very talented scientist, and she got involved with these bad people, not intentionally. You know, she volunteered for cancer research, and she ended up being dragged into these covert cancer programs, bit by bit, and meeting intelligence agents like Lee Oswald. But can you sort of sketch the scene of what was going on in New Orleans when she was there and meeting and then dating Lee Oswald?
Well, this fellow Oshner was running the medical program. You know, he was the biggest wig in the city in terms of medicine. He was actually, I think at the time, the president of the American Medical Association. And through Mary Sherman, who was overseeing the project, they were working on the development of this vaccine. Carlos Marcello, of course, was the big-time head of the mob there in New Orleans. And Judith, actually, on one of the occasions where she was actually out with Lee Oswald and another couple, met him. She was actually introduced to him. She knew David Ferry, and she was involved in these activities developing. She had shown her genius early on, Kevin. That's really a remarkable part of her story as a science student in Bradenton in high school, that she developed how to develop cancer rapidly in mice. And a major conference was being held in Clearwater, not far away, among leading experts on cancer. And she just made the effort to go over there. And when they were surprised to discover that they had this young woman in their midst, they began asking her about what she had done, and she started to explain to them what she discovered. They were so astonished that two or three of them actually went back to her lab, high school, and some, I think, at her home, to verify what she had said was true, and were dumbfounded that she knew more about this than any of the leading experts in the nation. They classified the project. They had her lab closed. They took all of the resources. But they regarded her as a really invaluable, and she was lured, as it was, with the promise of going to medical school, as I recall, without even having to attend college, by Ochsner, who wanted to involve her in these covert projects.
Right, and so she ended up in New Orleans, and she met Lee Oswald, who, as she says, was basically an ONI agent, Office of Naval Intelligence, who had been loaned to the CIA, who was sent on a fake defector program to the then Soviet Union, and then he was brought back to the U.S. The skids were greased to bring him back into the U.S., give him an instant visa or whatever, even though he had ostensibly renounced his citizenship and was ostensibly a communist traitor who would have had access to secrets from his Marine Corps service that he would presumably have been spilling to the Russians. But even so, he was just brought right back into the U.S. And so she says that he went from being an ONI agent loaned to the CIA. He goes over to the Soviet Union, comes back to the U.S., and he's working then with the FBI. And it was apparently to the FBI that he was reporting on the conspiracy to kill JFK.
Well, he was an informant for the FBI. Wagoner Carr, who was the Attorney General of Texas, confirmed that immediately. I mean, it took him no time at all to ascertain that Lee was working as an informant for the FBI, that he had informant number 179, that he was being paid $200 a month right up to the time of the assassination, which, of course, is the explanation for why the federal government, for perhaps the only time in its history, has been unable to obtain the W-2 forms of one of its own citizens. I mean, this is really embarrassing and such an obvious indication that the government's lying to us, just as there are so many more. But this one is particularly striking, Kevin. So, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now, how close he was to what was going on is another question. But I tend to believe what Judith has to say about her experience with Lee, with the possible exception that I have myself been inclined to believe that he actually wasn't in Mexico City. I mean, the photographs we've seen there, to which she alluded, showed somebody completely different. The audio tape didn't correspond to Lee. J. Edgar Hoover actually put out a memorandum to his agents in charge around the country that someone was in Mexico City impersonating Lee Harvey Oswald. And it seems to me, if that were all you knew about the assassination, you'd have to know that it was a conspiracy and a cover-up all by that point alone.
Mm-hmm. And how about her point that the whole reason that Oswald was being set up as a supposedly pro-communist, pro-Soviet, and especially pro-Cuban patsy was to blackmail people like Chief Justice Earl Warren, head of the Warren Commission, who was a famous liberal who certainly didn't want nuclear war, into covering up the assassination by saying that, look, there's actually this conspiracy involving the Cubans and the Russians, and if you don't cover this up, we're going to have World War III.
Well, this was a collateral effect of Lyndon Johnson used that argument to induce Earl Warren to, assume the role, which he realized was improper, of heading the Warren Commission, because after all, consider if it had been successful and conducted an honest investigation, which, of course, did not happen. But if they'd uncovered actual participants in the conspiracy, it would have led to legal cases that no doubt would have eventually worked their way up to the Supreme Court. But now the chief judge of the Supreme Court would have been compromised by being involved in the investigation. The idea of using a patsy they could frame for Castro was to get a two or a threefer. I mean, number one, you get a guy who you can claim was an operative of Castro in the first place, which is the opposite end of the political spectrum from where the assailants, the conspirators, really were coming, because this was actually a military-industrial type. It was a CIA Joint Chiefs mob event, and to blame it on this guy, you know, as a representative of Castro was quite brilliant all by itself. But number two, it was supposed to lead to an uproar by the American people in demanding that the American military be used to crush Cuba. It was Johnson's realization that that was a hopelessly untenable political position after JFK had negotiated all he had with the Soviet Union, and that it would take a dim view of any attempt where JFK had sworn to the world, in essence, that the United States would not reinvade Cuba to do this again. And then third, of course, most importantly, was it did give Johnson the wherewithal to manipulate others into serving positions they should never have served in, as you described.
Wow. what an amazing scenario. And so we have, we have a minute or two before the break. We do have a caller line that should still be working, 218-339-8525. People can call in and ask Jim Fetzer questions about the JFK assassination in general and Judith Vary Baker's story in particular. Her book Me and Lee is now out, published by Trine Day, which is doing many of the best books that peel back the layers of the onion and try and figure out what's rotten underneath.
I found some of our interviews, by the way, Kevin. If you go on to Judith Vary Baker, Jim Fetzer, they'll start turning up. And I'm not sure that channel, which Mike Sparks was maintaining on my behalf, is still available. I didn't find it when I first searched just now. But Judith and I are doing an event at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco on the 22nd of November. They're going to show Oliver Stone's film there that afternoon and evening. And after the film, I've been asked to discuss what Oliver Stone got right and wrong. Judith Vary Baker will then be talking about her relationship with Lee and St. John Hunt, the son of E. Howard Hunt. We'll talk about what he learned from his father, who was actually in Dallas at the time on behalf of the agents.
Wow, this is like the Super Bowl of JFK research. The Roxy Theater in San Francisco on November 22nd this year. I wish I could be there. Back in a moment. I'm Kevin Barrett with Jim Fetzer. Stick around.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spray the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
I'm down south recently. I'm playing a town. This is absolutely true. It was in all the papers. It was on CNN. Apparently, everyone in this town saw these UFOs. And I'm curious. I asked people what it was like. Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. People came from miles around to look at them. A lot of people came armed. Excuse me? People are bringing shotguns to UFO sightings. Don't you think there's a point where we're going to drop the weapons? I mean, you know, the mothership comes. Maybe we don't know everything. Not like some intergalactic skeet shoot. There goes one out! Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, man. It kind of brings whole new meaning to that phrase, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? So I said to the guy, I go, why do y'all bring shotguns to UFO sightings? He said, well, we don't want to be abducted. I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. He said, huh?
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Fabian for Liberty. You can join me every Monday and Friday from 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Time only on American Freedom Radio.
This is Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett talking this hour with Dr. Jim Fetzer. He is one of the world's leading experts on the JFK assassination, and he's no slouch on 9/11 either. We heard from Judith Berry Baker during the first hour, and Jim's on with us now clarifying issues about the JFK assassination, and anybody who wants to can ask him a question here, 218-339-8525. We do have a caller, and this wouldn't be Byron, would it?
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, the question I was going to ask your first guest was, and I thought I was supposed to get off the air when you went to the break, but I apologize for going off the air.
Oh, welcome back.
Yeah. Hey, getting back to old Bill O'Reilly, he said that on his book, on The View, he said it was the most researched book that there was on JFK, and there's no doubt that Ruby acted by himself and that you know, he was just a nutcase. That's what Bill O'Reilly said. And I was just listening to Jim on that thing, that meeting or that forum he's going to have in San Francisco. I think he said, boy, would it be nice to have O'Reilly there trying to defend his book.
Well, I think O'Reilly's got his hand full defending his book anyway. I'm just looking for a review I put up there about it right now. But it's a bad book. I mean, you know, those who don't understand how hopelessly inadequate was the Warren report really need to do at least a modicum of research, since this was the pivotal event of the 20th century that made a huge difference to the sequence of events that would follow, including the ascension to the highest office of the land by presidents who would never have occupied that office but for the death of JFK, including, obviously, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, George Herbert Walker Bush, and, of course, his son W., who would never have held that office if it weren't for the fact that his father had preceded him. So, you know, O'Reilly doesn't understand anything about the case, including that the so-called magic bullet theory, which is the pivot, the major claim that is scientifically indefensible but is indispensable to the Warren Report sequence of three shots from a lone assassin from above and behind is completely indefensible. I actually presented at Cambridge about it and then published an international peer-reviewed journal under the heading Reasoning About Assassinations. We have the shirt and the jacket, which show a hole about 5.5 inches below the collar to the right of the spinal column. We have the autopsy diagram by J. Thornton Boswell, shows a wound on the body at that location. We have an FBI report showing the wound to the back lower than the wound to the throat, which was an entrance wound, by the way, but which they were seeking to use the magic bullet hypothesis to explain away as an exit wound. We even have the president's own personal physician's autopsy, death certificate, in which he says JFK was killed by a shot to the head, otherwise undescribed, but that he had a second shot at the back at the level of the third thoracic vertebrae, which corresponds to that location of the shirt, the jacket. We have reenactment photographs showing stand-ins for JFK with a large, small patch on the back of their head where he was hit in the back of the head, but a larger patch on the back of the jacket at the location I described. My favorite photograph being one where Arlen Specter, then a young junior council member of the commission staff, is using a pointer to show the trajectory the magic bullet had to have taken if the hypothesis were true. And if you look down below his hand, you can see that large patch on the stand-in, which means that a photograph that's supposed to illustrate the magic bullet theory actually refutes it. We have the mortician's report, and he spent the most time with the body, where he describes multiple wounds, including the blowout to the head, but also 5 or 6 inches below the shoulder to the right of the spinal column, this wound in the back. In fact, it turns out that David W. Mantic, MD, PhD, whom I regard as the leading expert on the assassination in the world today, took a patient with chest and neck dimensions similar to JFK and sought to plot the official trajectory, discovering it was anatomically impossible because cervical vertebrae intervene. And what you have to appreciate is that once you recognize that JFK was actually hit low down on the back by a shallow shot, only went in about as far as the second knuckle on your little finger at a downward angle of 45 to 60 degrees, you realize that you have to account for the wound to the throat and the wounds to Connally, even leaving aside the shot that entered JFK's right temple, on the basis of other shots and other shooters, so that simply by establishing where JFK was actually hit in the back, for which there's overwhelming evidence, we know that there had to have been a conspiracy.
I getting back to O'Reilly, I think he knows what the truth is, just like anybody that's looked at film and stuff on 9/11 knows what the truth is. And Mr. O'Reilly, I think, he's probably working, you know, with the government or somebody, you know, to keep the story hidden like he is with 9/11. So, another question I want to ask you. Do you still say that it was just totally government, or was there the mafia? According to Piper's book, he says like the Mossad was involved with the killing of Kennedy. Do you think any of that still is valid? Could the Mossad been involved in that?
I've never believed in the so-called French connection, because the guys who were involved in this thing would have regarded those Frenchmen as pansies and unreliable. But what you had was a convergence of interests of the most powerful entities in the United States, including, you know, the Texas oilmen, the military-industrial complex, the Joint Chiefs, the CIA. The anti-Castro Cubans had become a political force unto their own. And, of course, Bobby was cracking down on organized crime. So it appears that one of the shooters, actually, who fired from the top of the county records building was a Dallas deputy sheriff named Harry Weatherford. He fired that shot that hit Jack in the back. That in the Dow Text, there was an anti-Castro Cuban by the name of Nestor Tony Escudero who fired three shots with a, what appears to have been a Mannlicher Carcano, in which I believe were the only was the only unsilenced weapon. The Mannlicher is so unreliable. One of these shots missed and injured the distant bystander James Tague, whose injury actually was what required the abandonment of the three-shot, three-hit theory, because originally, by the end of the day, the Secret Service and the FBI had already concluded that Jack had been hit once in the back, that Connolly had been once in the back, and then Jack had been hit in the back of the head. So it was the discovery of the shot that had missed and injured James Tague that caused them to have to subtract one of those three shots and invent the very flimsy, actually scientifically ridiculous and anatomically preposterous magic bullet theory. So a second shot of his missed and injured hit the chrome strip over the windshield. A third was a shot that hit JFK in the back of the head, which occurred while the limousine was at a stop. The driver, William Greer, had actually brought the limousine to a halt after bullets began to be fired to make sure JFK would be killed. Then in the book depository, although no rounds were fired from the east side sixth floor window where Oswald was allegedly located, there was on the west side three shots fired at John Connolly in the mistaken belief it was Ralph Yarborough. I suspect that was a CIA guy who had close ties, Frank Sturgis, to the James Jesus Angleton and through him to the Mossad. I'd not, before I interviewed Michael Collins Piper, appreciated the distinction he draws between the Meyer Lansky Jewish crime organization and the mafia of Giancana and Traficante and Carlos Marcello, where there was a very close connection between James Jesus and Angleton and Israel through the Lansky mobsters, and where Frank Sturgis appears to have been the connection. Then there was a Dallas policeman on the grassy knoll. He was actually in uniform. He was wearing a Dallas police uniform, and it also worked for the CIA, named Roscoe White, who fired a shot that, although it was from the shortest distance, appears to have missed. I believe it was deliberately pulled because he was going to hit Jackie, and they were under strict instructions that she should not be harmed. And then two very important firing positions were halfway between the roadway and the top of the triple underpass on both sides, where on the south side, a shot was fired that passed through the windshield that hit JFK in the throat. That was the second hit after he'd been hit in the back, which was, by the way, along with the wound to his right temple, widely broadcast on radio and television the afternoon and evening of the assassination. So the American people had heard multiple reports about shots being fired from in front, so that when late in the evening reports started coming in that the shots had been fired from above and beyond, Frank McGee was incredulous and said, this is incongruous. How can the man have been shot from in front from behind? Which was a problem also the Warren Commission inherited, that it resolved by simply reversing the trajectories and making the wound of entry in the throat a wound of exit via the magic bullet. And then finally, there's that similar parallel above ground sewer opening on the north side of the triple underpass from which the shot appears to have been fired that entered his right temple, frangible or exploding bullet, set up shock waves that blew his brains out the back of his head with such force that the motorcycle patrolman Bobby Hargis, riding to the left rear when hit with the debris, thought he himself had been shot. So what you have here, that appears to have been fired by an Air Force expert. The wound that went through the windshield appears to have been fired by Lyndon Johnson's personal hitman, Malcolm Mack Wallace, who killed a dozen people for Lyndon, including one of his own sisters. And where this last shot appears to have been fired by Jack Lawrence, who is an Air Force expert, where Lyndon had conducted a shoot-off of the military to see who was the best marksman in the U.S. Armed Forces in San Antonio earlier in 1963, which I believe is how he was selected.
Wow. There you have it. Okay, Byron, we have a couple callers in line behind you, so I'm going to go ahead and...
Okay, I'll get them. I had a couple more questions, but I'll get off. Thanks. Good show, and keep up the good work. We need to get these murders and 9/11 solved. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks, Byron. Appreciate it. And we have more callers. Next caller... from 403. We have one behind him, so her. So, hey, welcome, 403. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm curious what Professor Fetzer thinks about the research of Robert Grodin, and is it still considered relevant?
Well, this is a fairly complex question. Robert Grodin did a lot of good work. I like his book, The Killing of a President, wonderful assemblage of photographs and studies, and he actually endorses a sequence involving shots that's not very dissimilar from what I've described. I say 8, 9, or 10 shots were fired. Grodin has, as I recall, a 10-shot sequence. We even agree about Harry Weatherford as having been the deputy sheriff, having fired from the top of the county records building. His book, The Search for Lee Harvey Oswald, is excellent. I think his discussion of the Tippit shooting, which was, you know, laid on Oswald, but where he manifestly did not commit the crime, they found, is excellent. They found 4 shell casings ejected from automatics at the scene. The first officer initialed them. They were of 2 manufacturers, 2 Western, 2 Remington Rand. A woman across the street, Aquila Clemens, said that 2 men had shot Tippit, and neither of them looked like Lee Oswald. And that appears to be what happened later on, as in other cases. Substitutions or alterations were made in the evidence, and now you had 4 cartridges that were from a revolver, not from an automatic, but there were 3 of one make and 1 of the other. They no longer had the initials. Now, Grodin has been hung up on the question of authenticity of the Zapruder and other home movies, where he's been unwilling to budge in his beliefs that they're authentic, but we have so many proofs that the films were reworked and fabricated. We know where it was done, by whom it was done, how the substitution was made using the National Photographic Interpretation Center. Some key evidence here you might want to consider is the contrast in the reports of the eyewitnesses versus the current the content of the extant Zapruder film, which you can find on Assassination Research, an article by John Costello summarizing, bringing together, actually quoting all the witness testimony. Then you have his study on assassinationscience.com of how the internal evidence of how the film was faked. We have Clint Hill's own recollections consistent over 50 years about rushing forward, getting back of the limousine, pushing Jackie down, laying across their bodies, peering down into this fist-sized hole in the back of JFK's head, and turning to his colleagues in the Secret Service, giving them a thumbs down, which Roy Kellerman actually confirmed in his Warren Commission testimony. He reported looking back and seeing Clint Hill lying across what he thought was the trunk, but it was actually the back seat of the car before it got to the triple underpass. None of that, of course, is seen in the extant film except for him getting up on the back of the steps of the limousine. And then Douglas Horn, who has done this brilliant work, produced this 5-volume study called Inside the ARRB, the Assassination Records Review Board, has exposed how the one copy of the film, which appears to have been the original, was taken to the National Photographic Interpretation Center on Wednesday, on Saturday, that it was 8mm split film developed in Dallas. They had to go out and buy an 8mm projector to even project it. But then another film was brought the next day from Rochester. It was unsplit 16mm film brought by an agent who identified himself as William Smith, that appears to have been done at the Hawkeye Works, a secret CIA lab with Kodak headquarters in Rochester. And, you know, I mean, these are not, they're different physical differences in the film. And, of course, the content differences were substantial. They had to take out that limo stop. You can read about him in an article entitled U.S. Government Official JFK Cover-Up Film Fabrication. We know a huge amount about this. I haven't published a whole book about it, by the way, entitled The Great Zapruder Film Hoax, you know. And just to point out one very interesting gross inconsistency, not only did they take out the limo stop, but they blackened out the hole in the back of JFK's head. A group of Hollywood researchers, film restoration experts, were just stunned when they discovered how blatantly it had been done. But in frame 374, they overlook, you can actually see the blowout at the back of JFK's head.
Okay, we're going to pick it up on the other side of the break, and CB from Massachusetts is up next in the caller list, 218-339-8525. I'm Kevin Barrett. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Quirkulite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Quirkulite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Quirkulite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Quirky water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Quirky banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Quirky water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against all life. Join together here at TheSpiritualUN.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. TheSpiritualUN.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
The sun rose high and burnt the night away. Who stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberty. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't tread me this way.
I'd rather die than
Welcome
be
back.
Your slave.
Big poker.
poker face has it right. You have to have that attitude. I'd rather die than be your slave if you want to stand up for what's right, stand up for the truth. And that's what my guest Jim Fetzer has done. As Judith Vary Baker said during the first part of the show, both she and Jim were under threat when she first went public. And, Jim, we do have another caller up, so let's go ahead and bring him on. CB from Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Hey, welcome.
Can I call you Dr. Barrett?
Yeah, call me anything you want. As long as it's not something that the FCC would not approve.
No. Hey, if you could just bear with me for a second. I'm a long time, well, relatively long time listener of AFR. And for your listening audience, AFR needs your support. Please donate on the donations banner on the left side of the screen. It's very important to keep the future of AFR afloat. If indeed, and they are the future of talk radio, please donate what you can. Anyway, back to JFK. I received a YouTube video from a pal of mine from Canada, and it was very compelling video. Now, and after listening to the video manipulation by the government of the films that were confiscated and or taken from various people, this one piece of footage shows his car traveling down and him getting shot once and kind of slumping over. I think maybe that was the one to the throat. But then there's a shot where the driver from his with his left hand pulls out a revolver and fires at the president. And it looked like his close to his right temple. I looked at this over and over again, and I was trying to look for cuts and things like that. So does anybody in your, I don't know if you're Skyping right now, but, did anybody have any thoughts about that footage?
This is a very well known contention within the JFK research community, one of the most controversial. And I produced a 4.5-hour documentary in 1994 entitled JFK, The Assassination, The Cover-Up, and Beyond, in which I discussed it extensively. The key is the ballistics evidence. I mean, look, you got Greer to the left front of the target JFK. He's looking back at JFK. If he had shot JFK, his brains would have been blown out to the right rear. Instead, they were blown out to the left rear. And while it is true that the Secret Service agents are trained to use weapons with both hands, that what we have in terms of the medical evidence does not support it. There is a piece of bone by Jack's right ear that was blown open by the frangibular exploding bullet. But this is the effect of the shock waves. It's not from the bullet. Which, as I have observed, actually, that entered the right temple was a frangibular exploding round. It certainly was nothing massive like the 45 round. I qualified with a 45 4 years in a row as a commissioned officer in the Marine Corps, and I can assure you, the effects would have been quite different.
Well, the caller has made an interesting point that there's a film out there making the rounds supporting this contention that the driver shot JFK. Now, what do you think about the possibility that this is a poison-the-well piece of disinformation, because the driver probably was complicit, as you say, he came to a full and complete stop to allow the assassination to proceed. And so if they come up with a easily discreditable attack on the driver, this kind of ridiculous claim that the driver shot JFK, this, by implication, rubs off and poisons the well or skunks the contention that the driver was part of the conspiracy.
Okay, so you guys refute that video. It's probably been doctored then.
Well, no. I mean, I know what you're talking about. In the extant film, you do see what looks as though Greer is turning around, and there's something shiny, which may or may not be a reflection off of Roy Kellerman's head.
But I actually see the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
This has been around for over 20 years. William Cooper first advanced his thesis using a bootleg copy of the Zapruder film, where it was very fuzzy, difficult to see what was going on. And it has a certain amount of currency. Now, all the research that I have done in collaboration with the best qualified individuals to ever study the case, including a world authority on the human brain, who is also an expert on wound ballistics, a PhD in physics, who is also board certified in radiation oncology as an MD, and an expert in the interpretation of x-rays, who yeah. is the person who discovered that all the autopsy x-rays are not original. None of the autopsy x-rays in the National Archives are original. And that the lateral cranial x-ray, for example, had been patched to conceal this blowout at the back of the head. Now, he also discovered the evidence of the second shot to the head entering the right temple with a frangible or exploding bullets, because you can find the trace of particles in the x-ray even. But that had to have been fired from a different location, which yeah. appears to coincide with the one I described of the above-ground sewer opening halfway right. between the roadway and the top of the triple underpass on the north side.
Right.
So,
yep.
you know, I say, look, I mean, his brains would have gone in a different direction if that were true. It would have made quite a racket inside the limousine.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have burst eardrums. Everyone would have been aware of it, okay? And while there is some evidence, you know, to support it, such as you suggest, in fact, I submit that the ballistic evidence and the blowout of the brains, when you understand the evidence, refutes it.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, it's not a crazy idea. It just turns out not to be true.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
And Jim, you know, whether or not this contention was actually invented as disinformation or not, it seems like there is a lot of dubious information out there about the JFK case. I remember when they dug up Oswald's body and proved it was Oswald and said, well, this lays everything to rest. You remember that?
Well, you know, that knowing it was coming, they could have put the right skull back together with the body. I mean, there's all this complicated stuff, Kevin, but yes, you're so right about disinformation. I mean, we're getting all these weird theories, and it's because we're coming up to the 50th observance, and the government is very concerned that since the American people are going to have an enhanced interest in the case, they want to do everything they can to obfuscate what we know about JFK, which is overwhelming. You know, the man himself was hit four different times. 8, 9, or 10 shots were fired. They were from in front. They were from behind. They were from the side. Oswald didn't do it. Oswald wasn't even one of the shooters, Kevin, and that's a... When I talk about Oliver Stone's film, I'm going to point out there were three significant omissions or lack of understanding involved. Number one, his assumption the film was authentic, which is false. Number two, that he only posits three shooters when actually there appear to have been six. And then number three, his not realizing, thinking that this figure that was caught in an Alchin's photograph in the doorway was Billy Lovelady, when we now have been able to establish on multiple grounds that it was actually Lee Oswald, but where they tweaked the photograph in several ways to make it look more like Lovelady. Indeed, when I was contacted by the station to come on to the air today, I was just putting the finishing touches on an article that will appear tomorrow, co-authored by Richard Hook and myself, of going over the proofs that the man in the doorway was Oswald, so that, you know, once the American people realize that Lee wasn't even a shooter, that he wasn't on the sixth floor, that he was actually in the doorway, and that the CIA tweaked the photograph to obfuscate the fact, just shows the massiveness of the lies we're being told by our government.
And Jim, when you're speaking of the photo evidence of what was going on the street in front of the depository, isn't there evidence that George H.W. Bush was there?
Yes. That was after the assassination. This photograph was taken during the assassination. John Hankey has discovered that Bush was apparently actually arrested coming out of the Dow Tex building, described himself as a Houston oilman, and was later photographed in front of the book depository. Yes, I feature that several places. I did it. Hankey did an article for which I wrote an introduction entitled, Was George H.W. Bush involved in the assassination of JFK.
And well, you can not only see coming on. He'll mention that when he comes on Monday on the show.
Yeah, well, you not only see the photo of Bush in front of the depository, but also, and this has long been known, there's a photograph of a man walking past the three tramps who's been identified by both Fletcher Prouty and Victor Krulak, former commandant of the Marine Corps, where Fletcher Prouty was a liaison between the CIA and the Pentagon and the White House for covert activities, as having been Edward Lansdale. This famous Air Force general is responsible for assassinations all over the world, especially the Operation Phoenix Project in Vietnam. And later, there's a third photo showing Lansdale waiting to speak to Bush.
Well, it's kind of amazing. And then Bush publicly stated he didn't remember where he was on November 22nd, 1963. Oh, boy. We'll be back with more on this issue in the future. And undoubtedly, some of that will be with my favorite local JFK expert, who happens to be one of the greatest experts in the world, Jim Fetzer. Thank you, Jim. I can't wait for our next one.
My great pleasure, Kevin.
Take care. Okay, well, you heard it here, folks, from the horse's mouth. Judith Ferry Baker, the girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald, and Jim Fetzer, one of our leading experts on the JFK assassination as well as 9/11. Jim writes for VeteransToday.com, as do I. I'm Kevin Barrett, back on Friday with more, God willing. Until then, have a great Thursday.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. I'll give you an example of that. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. The government doesn't lie and engages in disinformation. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.